No, you guys are a fun group. I've really enjoyed myself, and I wish we had more time. I'm just starting to get to know some of you, and I want to know more of you. Yes, you too. He's like, I'm special. And it's too bad that we have to be done today, but we're going to take advantage of the time that we do have, all right? And again, it's fun, and we're all about having fun, but the real reason that we should be here is because we want to hear something from the Lord. So let's take some time here this morning and calm our minds, and let's concentrate on the Word of God and how it can be applied in our lives that will help us. Are you guys listening? You guys listening? How it will help us become what God wants us to be. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but I'm pretty certain everybody will raise their hand if I ask you to, how many of you would say that you want to be what God wants you to be? You're foolish if you say anything else. And you all know that. So we need to be on purpose about applying God's truth in our life. It's not just having knowledge. It's applying the knowledge into practical life that makes the difference. So you could learn something today about Samson. We're going to talk about some principles that can be very helpful. And you can take those principles and you can have them right here in your head. But they don't do you any good until you apply them in your life. You understand that? You would agree with that, right? Head knowledge isn't worth anything if you don't really apply it. And so let's be on purpose about that. I read one time a story about a group of people. I think there were 65, 70 people in this group. This group was going to hike the trails of the Grand Canyon. All right? And they came to the trailhead, and there was a warning sign that said the trail was steep, that the trail was winding, that it was, in some places, very difficult. But next to that warning sign at the trailhead of the Grand Canyon, there was a picture. A picture of an older gentleman. And the picture stated that this man was missing. And he was last seen walking, hiking the trails of the Grand Canyon. Now, many of those people in that group had never done that before. They saw the warning sign, said it was steep, it was rough. And then they saw the picture of the missing man next to it, and they weren't so confident about what they were about to do. And the sign was very clear that this road, this trail is rough, it's steep, it's winding, it can be dangerous. And then there was someone missing. Well, they started on their adventure. And as they were going about their trek that day, they found out firsthand that the warning sign was true, that the trail was steep, and it was winding, and it was dangerous in places. And what happened was, because of the steepness of the trail, some people had to stop and they had to rest, while others kept moving on. And what happened was that the group started to separate because some were lagging behind. The story went on to say that some of those people in that group throughout the day, sometimes they felt very dizzy because of the heat, because of the elevations and so on, which was potentially very dangerous because of the roughness and the steepness and the drop-offs almost the entire time. That story also went on to say that after the group had finished their day, there was a survey that was taken. And some of them said that it would have been really nice to have some guardrails put in place along the way in those dangerous spots to keep people from disaster. Well, the conclusion of that article was that the man who went missing, whose picture was at the trailhead, he was never found. And they suspect that he had fallen off a cliff and plummeted to his death. Guardrails. What I want to talk to you about this morning. Guardrails for your life. Somebody tell me what a guardrail is. Anybody know what a guardrail is? Is this a trick question? No, not a trick question. What do you think a guardrail is?
Like on the highway, you might have big barriers between the edge of the road.
Yeah, a barrier, right? And he said on the highway, on the road, you see that barrier between the road and the ditch, or the road and the edge of the mountainside and the cliff. That's right. Guardrails, if you'll notice as you're going about driving, guardrails are strategically placed on roads, and on especially roads that are windy and curvy and dangerous places. Guardrails are strategically placed, and they're barriers. Now, they're placed not necessarily to prevent an accident, but they're there to prevent major tragedy and even death.
Right.
Someone might have an accident, and they might start to slide and swerve, but they might hit that barrier, which would actually save them from going on into oncoming traffic, which would mean death. They might slide down a roadway, and they might hit that barrier, which would actually stop them from falling off the cliff. In Alaska, we've got lots of mountains. Just north of Fairbanks, there's a road called the Steese Highway. And it starts to go up into the mountains. And the road is actually very curvy in places. Especially in the wintertime, it's very, very dangerous if you're not paying attention, you're not careful. Because of the steepness of the incline, and then when you come back down into the valleys, and sometimes the road, it follows a valley on the side of a mountain, and so it might be doing this, and all of a sudden it makes a real hard right-hand turn, very sharp turn. There are guardrails that are placed there on those curves on purpose, because right on the other side of that, certain death. Guardrails are strategically placed barriers, not necessarily to prevent an accident, but to prevent major tragedy and even death that would be certain to come. I read another story once about an Orlando, Florida resort. And at this resort, they would have buses that would run back and forth from the resort, you know, to the parks and so on. You know what I'm talking about, Disney World and all that. Also at this resort, though, there were bike paths right next to the road. And one day, a little boy was riding his bike along the bike path, which was actually right next to the road. And as he was riding along, he wasn't real secure. He was a little boy, just had recently learned how to ride a bike, apparently, and he lost control of his bike, and he stumbled, and he fell, but he fell out into the roadway just as a bus was driving by. He hit the side of the bus, and the back wheels of the bus ran him over and killed him. Tragedy. They were petitioning after that to put up some guardrails between the bike path and the roadway. Because if there would have been a guardrail there, the boy would have never fallen out into the road. It's too late for him. But a guardrail could save somebody else. I'm telling you these stories that are true because I think of the dangers that teenagers face in this world that we live in. It's a dangerous world. And I'm telling you this because there are some guardrails that should be strategically placed in our lives. Some spiritual guardrails that should be strategically placed in our lives to keep us from tragedy, from fatality, from spiritual ruin, and ultimately ruin of your life. I'm going to tell you some more stories a a little bit later on of real people. True. Not made up. That should be an example for you and for me. Now, let me say this to you. Sometimes your parents will make some rules for you. How many of you have parents that make rules? You had this question mark look on your face. It was like right across your face like this. I saw it flash, question mark. Like, what's a parent? What's a rule? And she still raised her hand at the same time. Do it again. How many of you have parents that make rules for you? I can't. You girls don't have. Okay, there it is. You're the pastor's daughter. You better have some rules in your life. Right. Your parents make rules. Why do they do that? Because they don't like me. And they're arbitrarily restrictive. To make my life miserable. How many of you ever felt like that? We have some honest people here. You boys like, no, I love my parents. I know they're the wisest people in all the world. I know nothing. All of a sudden, oh no, yeah, no. No, they do, yeah. Why do they do that? They love you and they want to protect you. The rules that they make, oftentimes, they're not arbitrarily restrictive. I'm just going to make up a rule for my daughters because I'm going to figure out a way to make their life so miserable that they will hate me. Oh! Here's a new rule for today. Parents don't do that. Parents have some wisdom, some life experience, and they know certain choices lead certain ways and places. Certain things that are allowed into your life will destroy your life, and they don't want that. And they make a rule that you need to follow because it becomes a guardrail for your life. I'm just setting the stage here, all right? We're going to get to the scriptures in just a minute. Those are good things. They want to protect your path because they love you. But here's the thing, young person. It's good to have parents who make some rules that become guardrails. But there needs to come a time, listen, when you take some personal responsibility and make some decisions in your own life that become spiritual guardrails for you. Amen. Not just your parents making those rules. Does that make sense? Are you with me here? That's called maturity. That's called spiritual discipline and maturity. I know that there can be accidents along the road of life. There's all kinds of dangerous curves and pitfalls and turns and twists in life. I should have some guardrails put up for me spiritually to protect my own path, to save me from spiritual harm. And a person who is truly serious about serving God? Because if I said, hey, how many of you want to serve God? Oh, me! I want to raise my hand. You probably all would do that because that's what you're supposed to do. But a person who is truly serious about serving God, they're going to do whatever they need to do to keep from living on the edge that will bring disaster. But all too often, teenagers, oh man, they want to live on the edge. They kind of want to have one foot out there in the world, but stay on the roadway, living right on the edge. Okay, here's the standard. Okay, this is the standard. We're supposed to live that way, but I want to get as close to that thing as I can. When on the other side of that is potential death. If you're serious about serving God with your life, listen, you're going to want to say, hey, that's the edge. I want to stay as far away from that as I can. because there's danger over there.
Right.
So what are some guardrails that we can put up in our lives to keep us from ruining things and even potentially ending in complete disaster? Well, I want to look at Samson this morning, because Samson is not a good example to follow. And I told you on Sunday that we're going to consider all these different Bible characters. Some are good, some are not so good. But we can learn some really valuable things from these Bible characters that can protect our way and protect our life. I want you to go to Judges chapter 14. We're just going to look at the first three verses here. There's so much in the life of Samson that we could learn from. We don't have the time to cover all of this. So let's just look at verses 1 through 3. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I want to learn some things about Samson and make some applications that can really be good guardrails for our lives. So I want you to pay attention, all right? I want you to apply these principles. Because like I said, we could learn these things, but head knowledge doesn't do us any good if we're not willing to apply it into our life. And these can be real practical, teenagers. They're not just for teenagers either. I see some adults back here. These can be real good guardrails for you too, for me as well. First of all, the first guardrail is the guardrail of prevention. All right? The guardrail of prevention. This can be something that is a very good guardrail for life. Prevention. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. What was Samson's first problem here? Samson, go ahead. All right. Okay, Samson saw. But why did he see? He went down, you see that? He went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Samson went to a place that caused his eyes to behold something that eventually was a real problem in his life. Samson's first problem was, number one, that he was in the wrong place. And number two, he saw a woman in Timnath. Listen, why was he there in the first place? Because Samson was ruled by the lust of his eyes and ruled by the passions of his flesh. Do you remember David before he sinned with Bathsheba? You know the story, right? Would you all nod your head? Yeah. Yes, Brother Demlo. Give me an indication that you're awake, that you're here, okay? You paying attention? You awake? You awake? All right, you guys ready? You guys here? You remember David? Remember the story? The Bible says that David, when he was up on his rooftop before he sinned with Bathsheba, it was a time when kings go forth to battle. All right? That was the time. David should have been in the battle, but David wasn't where he should have been. Instead, David stayed home, laying on his bed, and one day he went up on the top of his roof, and while he was there, the Bible says that he saw a woman bathing herself. He kept looking when he shouldn't have been looking. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. And what happened? Well, you know the story. What he saw carried him into all sorts of other sins. Not only did he commit adultery, but then David was a liar. He was a schemer. Ultimately, David became a murderer because he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. See that? All because he was in the wrong place, and what he saw led him in to all sorts of other sins. And I'm saying the guardrail of prevention is a serious thing for our life. Let's make some applications here. But before we do that, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. As you're turning there, let me tell you that Samson, he was a strong man, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Samson was a guy who could whip thousands all by himself. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He could do it all by himself. And yet, what was it that led ultimately to Samson's ruin? Was he overcome and overpowered, you know, by the armies and so on? What really led to Samson's ruin was the fact that he was controlled by the lusts of his flesh. He was a strong guy who could do it all by himself. And yet it was the passions of his lust that was out of control that eventually cost him his life. In Proverbs chapter 7, we read, powerful story, sobering one. Verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. What's Solomon saying? These commandments of mine, they're guardrails. You keep them and you're going to live. Right? Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So Solomon sets the stage here for his son. He says, you need to listen to me. And if you listen to what I'm telling you, it's going to save your life. And then he goes on to tell a story. In verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. There he was, where he shouldn't have been. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Here she's flattering him. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Let's skip on down to verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. What a sad, sad story. A simple one, void of understanding, who went to a place he shouldn't have been in the first place, and it cost him his life. Let me say this to you, teenager. Do you really want a pure and a godly life? Do you really want to be pure? There's so many strong men that have been slain by the strange and the foolish woman. Same for girls. Girls that have been caught up in some fairy tale because some guy pays attention to her and it flatters her and she likes the attention and she's gone the way of the fool. A lot of times teenagers, they've got the attitude, hey, I can handle this. It's not going to be a big problem. I can choose for myself. I'm smart enough. My parents don't really understand. You don't know this person, Mom, Dad. You don't know this person. I love them. But I was there once. I get it. But I also know now how stupid and how foolish I was. And the reality of it is, when it comes right down to it, in those situations, we want what pleases us well. Remember how Samson said, "Get her for me to wife, for she pleaseth me well." He wanted what he wanted, and he was going to do whatever he wanted. And teenagers sometimes think that, you know, I can handle this. You know, I've heard this before. You counsel a teenager, you know, you want God's will for your life. Part of God's will for your life is, you know what? God says you don't have a relationship with an unsaved person. They're unequal yokes, meaning that they're not going to be compatible. You're going in different directions and so on, right? Oh, yes, I know that. But then you know, you got a job and you're out there working and you get some new friends and all of a sudden you come across some guy. Man, he's really cute. You get all these butterflies inside. Man, that girl, ooh, she's good looking. And she's really nice, you know? You know what I think I'll do? I'll invite her to church. I know she's not saved, but if I can invite her to church and she starts coming to church, you know, she could get saved and who knows what could happen after that. Starting to get uncomfortable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You chose to sit in the front. I'll just invite them to church, you know, and I'll witness to them and they'll get saved and everything's going to be all right. No, it won't. Never works that way. But you know what? That is a lie of the devil right there. And the reality of it is we're only being controlled by the passions of our flesh. The desire, oh, I want to see them saved so I can have a relationship with them. That is selfishness. There's no concern for that person's soul, really. When you get right down to it, it's all about me and how I feel. We're talking about the guardrail of prevention. I got to get to it, actually. These are all rabbit trails that they find their way into a sermon. Listen, young person, a little prevention in your life is going to go a long way to sparing your life. Listen, you need to know what areas are weaknesses for you. You need to know what areas you're susceptible to, and you need to avoid them. You need to know what things are tendencies in your life and avoid those things, because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Right. You need to take some stock. What are weaknesses in my life? What areas seem to be constant temptations for me? You know what? I'm going to avoid things that are going to precipitate that temptation and cause me to sin. Let me give you some real practical examples, all right? It's a good idea to take some stock and identify the things of the flesh that you're attracted to and get it out of your life because of where it's going to lead. Now, I remember, as a young man, I was newly married, all right? And I had purposed in my heart that I was going to be, number one, pleasing to God. I wanted a pure mind and a pure heart. Number two, I was going to be faithful to my wife. I was going to be pure in my mind and in my heart for my wife. I was working construction at the time. And we often had to drive across town, you know, from job site to job site, from our shop to other job sites. Sometimes the best route was taking University Avenue, which went right through the middle of the University of North Dakota campus. Sometimes that was the best route to go. But what I discovered, that as soon as, you know, May comes around, school's not out yet. I mean, they're still in school, but guess what? Well, guess what else comes out? The sun. And it's been a long winter, and the sun is out. And as soon as the sun comes out, people want to take their clothes off. So what would happen is that the university students would gather in the park, and they would play frisbee, they would play football, you know, they would just hang out, and most of the time, a lot of them were just out sunbathing. And you know what happens when someone wants to go sunbathing? They take their clothes off. But so this is what would happen. You know, school's almost over, the sun's out, there's a big group of people out there, they're all they're not properly dressed, let's put it that way. My best route to go to my job site was right through the University of North Dakota, right past this park, right next to the road. There's crowds of people all out there without good clothing on. And I found myself, you know, you can't help but see stuff sometimes. I have no intention of, you know, of looking that way, but you're just all of a sudden out in life and boom, there it is. You're like, whoa! You know what I decided to do? Because I did not want temptation in my life, I decided to take the long way around. Amen. And I wasn't going to go down University Avenue anymore. Why? Because I wanted to put up some prevention. I didn't want to be in the wrong place that would cause my eyes to be drawn. Samson saw a woman, and he was ruled by the lust of his flesh. That was just a personal story, but you know what? There's all kinds of applications we can make. You know what? When you flip up your laptop screen and you get on the computer and you're clicking from this place to that place, guess what happens? Banner ads and all kinds of other things come across the screen. They are intended to draw your eye. They're intended to capture your attention. And it takes one little click here, which leads to one little click here, which leads to another click here, and before you know it, you're definitely in a place you shouldn't be. Right. Man, you watch television just for a minute. Well, I don't watch bad stuff, Pastor Demlo. I like to watch sports. Hey, I do too. But there's this thing called a commercial that comes on in the middle of an event. What happens in those commercials? They intentionally put things in there that are intended to capture your attention. They're selling a product, but they know exactly what to put on there to sell a product. All it takes is one little look. And if your flesh is not under control, that incites passion and lust, and then it draws you into more and more. Prevention is a guardrail for your life. Listen, if the internet is a problem, you shouldn't have it. I've counseled parents and young people many times. You know, the internet can be a great tool. But if it's a source of temptation, you would be better off living without it. You would be better off with it not in your house or in your life than to have that, what could be a tool, become the downfall for your life. This young man said it last night. Your phone can be the very worst thing for you. Prevention will go a long way to sparing your life. I've told single young men many times, you know, you live alone, you're a working man, got your house, going places in your life, you shouldn't have the internet in your house. I've told some single young men that many times because of the things that they are susceptible to. Dangers that they're susceptible to. Not that they're just wrong in all the time and they're making bad choices all the time. No, it's just a little prevention. Because if it's not there, it can't be a source of temptation. You with me?
Amen.
We're going to be bombarded with all kinds of things. Everything that this world has to offer. Temptations on every hand. Filth all around us today. With such easy access to everything. It's not like it was 30 or 40 years ago. And we need to know better. We need to know what our flesh is drawn to and have a guardrail of prevention firmly established in our life. Sometimes young ladies, maybe they don't have the same problems that young men do, but sometimes, this is maybe the way it used to be, where ladies, they would read these romance novels. Oh, it's such a sweet
sweet love story. So sweet.
You know what, girls? It'd be better for you not to ever read that stuff, because it's full of romanticized things. It's full of unrealistic expectations. And it gets your heart all aflutter, gets your emotions all in a whirl, and causes you to think a way that's not realistic. If that's a source of temptation, or could be, you'd be better off not having it in your life. I don't know if that applies to you or not. Maybe it doesn't. It's just an example of things that you need to know what you're susceptible to. Hey, are you awake? You know what I used to do with my kids when they were little and they wanted to sleep in church? You know what I used to do with them? I'd make them stand up. So we'd be right there in the pew. Everybody's all around. We're even toward the front. And I'd make my little kids stand up right in the middle of the preaching. And they would have to stand there just like this, so they didn't fall asleep. Everybody'd be like, ugh! And they hated it because they knew people were watching them. But you know what it did? It cured them from sleeping in church. I know God's going to make me stand up. As soon as you start to see that big, I'd be like, hey, you're gonna go to sleep? No. I could do the same thing. Pay attention. These are important, teenager. Head knowledge doesn't do any good if you don't apply it in your life. All right, I better move on. But let me give you just one story. A guy that was a friend of mine when I was a teenager, your age, in the youth group, sitting in camps, services like this, preaching just like this. He's a friend of mine. We knew what we did. We knew what was going on in our lives. He was a great guy. But you know what? He didn't pay attention. He didn't apply truth in his life. As soon as he turned 18, he was gone. Went out into the world to go do what he wanted to do. I wasn't really any different. But by the grace of God, I'm saved. In the grace of God, I stand here today. But I guarantee you this, he is nowhere near where he should be in life. He didn't apply. He didn't pay attention. He went out to do what he wanted to do. And he got into all sorts of other things, my friends. Listen, teenagers, he got into all sorts of other things that now today his life is ruined. His life is a mess. He's been divorced. He's been remarried. He's got all kinds of other problems that he will never recover from because he didn't have some guardrails put up in his life. Might not be a bad idea, teenager, to take some stock right now and to get rid of some things in your life so that you can be godly. To get rid of some things in your life, to have a guardrail of prevention. Don't go there. And it can't be a source of temptation. Prevention is a good guardrail. Samson's problem was he went and did whatever he wanted to do. He was controlled by the lust of his eyes and the lust of his flesh. Secondly, number two, look at verse 2. Go back to Judges 14. Look at verse 2. Bible says here, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. I'm going to talk to you here for just a minute about the guardrail of accountability. The guardrail of accountability. Samson went up and told his mom and dad, this is what I want. Now go get her for me. Samson was not accountable to anyone. He did whatever he wanted to do. There was no one who could really help steer him in the right direction. He wouldn't listen. Listen, accountability can be a tremendous guardrail in your life to keep you from disaster. And one of the very best things that you can do, teenager, is to have personal accountability to somebody godly in your life. This is going to sting just a little bit. I dare say that if you're honest, all of you would be able to identify something in your life that you often will keep secret and you don't want anybody to know about. That's a very dangerous thing. Something you know is not right and you keep it secret. I see right now some of your eyes going like this, some of your eyes going like that. You're already thinking. You're already identifying right now. That is very dangerous for you spiritually. It's very dangerous for you physically in your life. One of the very best things that you could ever do is to have personal accountability to somebody godly. If you've got a particular thing that you're dealing with, you've got a particular thing in your life, what you need to do is go to somebody godly. Maybe you need to go to your pastor. Maybe you need to go to your pastor's wife. Maybe you need to go to your youth pastor or his wife or some other. Maybe you need to go to your parents. And in humility say, Mom, Dad, Pastor, you know, pastor's wife, whatever you are, this is something in my life that is a problem. It's something that I've kept secret, but I know that it's going to destroy me and I need some help. I want to be accountable to you. So will you help me get victory in this area of my life? Because I don't want disaster. Oh, I can handle it. It takes a whole lot of humility to be able to admit that we've got problems. None of us really want to do that. It's our pride that keeps us from doing that. And it would be humbling. For sure, but it's the very thing that will help you gain victory. But most won't do it because they're too proud. I don't want anybody to find out. If being afraid someone will find out is more important than victory in your life, I don't think you're very serious about pleasing God. At least not in that particular area. Are you with me? But you need to watch out because you might fall and you might experience the heavy hand of the Lord in your life unnecessarily. But go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at verse 9. The Bible says here that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Here's verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You see how accountability is a good thing? Because two are better than one. And if you fall or you have an accident, you got somebody there to help you. But woe to him that is alone. You with me? We all need accountability in our lives. Samson didn't have any. Accountability can be a real guardrail for your life. Teenager, here it is. Here's some head knowledge that you're gaining. But without application, it does you no good. I would say that some of you young men right now, you know exactly what is wrong in your life. At least one area. Things that you've been involved in that you don't want anybody to know about. It would be the best thing in the world for you to humble yourself. Go to your pastor and say, this is what's been going on in my life, and I'm sorry about it. I don't want it in my life. I need some help. They will gladly do all that they can do to help keep you accountable so you can gain victory in your life. You know what will happen? The next time that temptation comes around, you're going to think twice about it. You're going to say, you know what? I've got an answer to so-and-so. I've got an answer to my pastor. I've got an answer to my mom or my dad. You know what? They're my accountability partner. I don't want to have to give a bad report. You know what? I'm just going to stay away from it. It's a good motivator. Accountability is a good guardrail for your life. It's good to have things like covenant eyes, for example. This is just one of the things. It's good to have that sort of thing on your computers, on your phones. Because it's an accountability partner. Because whatever you do, wherever you go, there's a report that's sent to your accountability partner. They know exactly where you've been on the internet. Well, I don't do bad things on the internet anyway. Why do I need that? Foolish. You know what? For the sake of safety, I don't want this to be a problem in my life. I'm just going to do whatever it takes to stay away from the edge. It's a good thing. When I was a single man, I had some roommates. We all lived together. One of my roommates was Brother Morrison. You guys know Brother Morrison, right? He's my brother-in-law. We were roommates together. And we decided with each other, you know what? Let's be accountability partners. Let's keep each other accountable so that we can maintain purity and godliness in our life. And every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, we'd get up and we'd go out in the living room. We'd pray together. And we would encourage one another into godliness and things that are righteous and holy. And we would say to each other, we would give accountability reports to each other, if you will. Just because.
Amen.
We wanted to be godly. But we can't do it alone. Because of all this stuff that's out there. But when I know that I have to give an account to somebody else, there's a little bit more motivation to say, I am staying away from that. You with me? It's helpful. It's a guardrail that keeps from disaster. Let me give you the last one. Look at verse 3. Here we go to verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Here's the guardrail of godly counsel. Samson did not listen to good advice. He said, there's this woman that I want. Dad, go get her for me. And his dad said, hey, Samson, why do you got to go down there to find a woman? Can't you find one of your own people? One that's going to be good? And Samson went, I don't need to listen to you. Go get her for me because she pleases me well. He didn't listen to good advice. Guardrail of godly counsel will keep you from certain disaster in your life. You know what? You are not smart enough to navigate the pathway of life all alone. Oh, I don't like that. I am too. I used to think the same thing. But you know what? Even right now, I'm going to turn 42 in just a couple weeks. I am not smart enough to navigate the road of life alone. I need godly counsel. Because there are places I've never been. Things that I've never encountered before. And it's very helpful for me to know that I have other pastors, like your own pastor, for example, that I could call him up and I could say, hey, brother, there's this thing. I don't know what to do about this. Have you had any experience in this? Do you have any advice for me that could give me some direction? Sometimes even going to my own wife. Hey, honey, I'm not a girl. In case you haven't figured it out. Somebody called me fat the other day. One of the girls like, "You're not fat, you're just solid." I'm like, yes. Yeah, we'll go with that. What she said. It's pretty wise. Sometimes going to my own wife saying, "Honey, I don't know how to handle these emotions that these young girls have. You got any advice? You got any help to steer them the right way?" When Samson spoke to his parents about this love that he had in his life, they were in complete disagreement with it. And if he would have submitted himself to their wisdom and to their direction, he could have been spared from ruin and disaster. You know the end of Samson's life, right? Do you? Yeah. This woman of Timnath wasn't the first problem. It wasn't even the second problem, and later it wouldn't be the last problem. He had others too. Eventually, he found Delilah, and eventually, that was the ruin of him until he ended up having his eyes plucked out and his strength all gone. And the Bible says that when after Samson had cut his hair, that he had no idea that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He had gone so far in the wrong direction that he didn't even know when the Spirit of God left him. And he's like, "I'm going to be like other times, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill it. And then he was just like a weakling. He ended up in the stocks. He ended up grinding at the mill with no eyes. What a waste. What potential Samson had to serve God and to be the mouthpiece of God and the voice of God for the people. What potential he had, but what a waste his life turned out to be. In the end, God used him one more time. But what could it have been? You understand what I'm saying? If he would have listened to his parents. Listen, there is safety in godly counsel. And listen, if you receive instruction and counsel from your spiritual leadership, your youth pastor, your parents, if you receive instruction from them, listen, you need to take that advice as if it's from God Himself. Because God actually has put people in your life that really love you and really care for you and really want the best for your life. Not to make your life miserable. Not to be arbitrarily restrictive in their rules and so on, but to keep you from tragedy. Solomon did this for his son. Look at a few passages of scriptures. We're almost done here. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Solomon said to his son, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Here Solomon was talking to his son. Listen to me, because this is going to be something that helps you and save you. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Proverbs 4:10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Look at verse 20 of this same chapter. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." He says, "My words are life to you, and they're health to you." Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. You know what this says? "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." It's a fool that doesn't listen to godly advice. Look at verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 15. "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." And the Bible also says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There was a girl who was a teenage girl in the youth group. She was about 14 years old. She had a problem. She was very flirtatious. She liked the boys. And she would flirt with the boys. And she'd be, and she'd come to the boys and be like, By the way, guys, if that ever happens, some girl's hanging around talking to you, she's all laughing and giddy, and she touches your arm, you better run for the hills. She is not the kind of girl that you want to be around. Ladies, there's a guy who's, oh yeah, he's all macho, man. Yeah. I'm cool. And he comes across that way, and he's hanging around the girls, and he's trying to show off for the girls. Girls, don't give him the time of day. Treat him like the scum that he is. In love, of course. He doesn't have good intentions. He's worthless, and he's not spiritually minded at all. Stay away from that kind of stuff. This girl was very flirtatious. Her pastor went to her parents and said, hey, there's something that I've noticed about your daughter. You need to work on this. You need to get this under control. Because if it's not gotten under control, it's going to cause some real problems later on. A little time went by. Not much really changed. Pastor went back to the parents again and said, hey, listen, I'm telling you, this is a real problem in your daughter's life. You better get this under control. You better put some reins on this, because if you don't, she's probably going to end up pregnant. Oh, pastor, that would never happen, the parents said. This is what they said. That would never happen. You know, yeah, she's just a friendly personality. She's so bubbly. That's just who she is. Pastor, that would never happen. It's not a problem. This is what they said. Not listening to their pastor. Not listening to that godly counsel. Pastor was very burdened over this situation. He even went back to the parents and talked about, hey, you know what? Maybe we should do something. Let's remove her from this situation. Maybe you ought to consider sending her some other place for a little while so that we can get some help and get some things under control. Oh, pastor, we can't do that. We would never do that to our daughter. It's fine. She's okay. They wouldn't listen. She turned 15. She turned 16. And then all of a sudden, one day the news came out that this girl was pregnant, 16 years old. Now she's expecting. She's going to be a mother. Oh, a lot of shame. A lot of embarrassment, especially on the part of the parents, because this could have all been prevented when they were given good counsel to rein some things in their daughter's life, and they said, no, it's going to be fine. We can handle this. It's not a big deal. Turns out all this time, even though she's so flirtatious, you know, with there was somebody else, other people out in the world, unsaved people. She got into a relationship that she kept secret. Doing all kinds of things she shouldn't have, and she paid the price. But it didn't stop there. She had a baby, 16 years old. The stage was set for her life. Patterns had already been established. Things had already been done that just kept her going down this course of life. It wasn't long. That relationship that she had, the father of this baby, he's gone, out of the picture. Now she's a single mom. As a teenager, the parents have all this extra responsibility now, because not only do they care for their daughter, but now they have a grandson that they're also trying to raise. She eventually gets a little older. She moves out. She gets into another relationship. Unmarried, guess what? Baby number two is on the way with guy number two. Oh, it doesn't stop there. She continues on with her life. It's a wreck. It's a mess. She's not in church. She's not serving God. She's not doing anything. She's gone living her own life now. Found out that she was in a relationship with another guy. Baby number 3 on the way. 3 different men. Not married. I don't really know where this girl is at today. Last I heard, she actually got married to a man. Man number 4 in her life. I think she maybe had another baby. I don't know. But last I heard, she was talking about divorcing this man. She grew up in a Christian home. In a youth group. Just like this. Full of good young people. I guarantee you that this point in her life right now, looking back when she was 14, 15, 16 years old, it was not her intention to turn out like she did. Right? With me? At 14 and 15 years old, she wasn't looking ahead saying, I'm going to have 3 different kids with 3 different men, marry number 4, probably divorce him. I think that's what I want to do with my life. Sound like a good plan? It's not her intent. And I'm telling you this right now, using it as an illustration, that if there would have been some listening to godly counsel and godly advice in her life when she was 14 years old, she wouldn't be right where she's at today. You see how important it is? The guardrail of godly counsel. I've taken a lot of time this morning talking about these things, and I want to close it with this. You ever been driving down the road and you see these little crosses, little memorials, flowers, you know, that kind of thing on the side of the road? Have you ever seen that? A lot of times, those things are there because they are markers and memorials of people who have died in that spot because of a wreck. Listen, how sad it would be to have some markers and memorials of your life. Where if you just would put up some guardrails, it can save and from ruin and disaster. If Samson would have had some prevention in his life and not been where he shouldn't have been, avoid it, stay away from it. If he would have had some accountability in his life, listening to his parents' advice and godly counsel, it could have saved his life from ruin. What potential he had that never, ever was fulfilled. Here's the head knowledge. Where's going to be the application, teenager? Maybe some of you need to go and make yourself accountable to your pastor, your pastor's wife. Maybe some of you need to get rid of some things in your life that are going to ruin you. Maybe some of you have been already given some advice, but you're not paying attention. You're not listening because you want to do what pleases you well. Don't be like Samson. Don't let there be some markers and memorials for your life. Make some decisions and some choices. I want to encourage you. This should be encouraging, actually. Make some decisions for your life right now. They're going to bring some prevention and protection into your life. All right?